want to present next a very, very, very important person who represents for me all of the women in Afghanistan who are struggling to be free and who are fighting for their rights themselves because, you know, the rest of us aren't really doing that much to help, unfortunately. The Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, that's RAWA, and Zoya. Zoya, their 26-year-old member who has flown a very long way and arrived just yesterday in Los Angeles to be here, especially for this event, is here. She is not feeling very well. She has actually been struggling with ill health for a while now, but she insisted she wanted to be here tonight. She asked me to apologize to you in advance that she's going to be reading rather than speaking off the cuff. Again, it's because she is basically, you know, not feeling as well as she could be tonight, and so she's not in the best of health, but we're so happy she's here today. Please give a warm welcome to Zoya. And again, please, no cameras.
Sisters and brothers, on behalf of Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan, RAWA, and on behalf of my people, let me say that how grateful I am to be among you on this wonderful evening. I bring you all the warmest and sincere greetings of Afghan women. Before I share the depth of tragedy in my bleeding Afghanistan, I'd like from the bottom of my heart to thank Afghan Women's Mission and RAWA supporters of Southern California and all the co-sponsors and volunteers for organizing such great event. Sometimes ago, I was on a trip to Italy. On my way in the airplane, I met a woman. She told me that she knows about RAWA. And while talking about Afghanistan, she couldn't keep her tears back and told me that the only sad point is that RAWA is all alone in its struggle against fundamentalism. I told her that only your tears are enough that I say, and it's a proof that I say that we are not alone and forgotten. When we see that our supporters in America and also in the other parts of the world are working with unforgettable love for us, when I see that a very special person for Afghan women, for RAWA, and particularly for me, Eve Ensler, is thinking of us. She is writing articles, collecting financial help for us, and is trying to raise our voice wherever and whenever possible for her. She traveled to Afghanistan many times. She was near to be lashed by the Taliban. She came there and visited Afghanistan. She came to Pakistan to visit our refugee camps, to talk with the women of Afghanistan, and it means a lot for us. When I see that Sonali and Jim are working so honestly and tirelessly for us and helping us to raise awareness of American people, to travel Afghanistan by risking their lives, writing the book Bleeding Afghanistan, which I encourage everyone to read it. It's really one of the realistic and rich documents about Afghanistan. When I see other supporters of RAWA, Biryana, that despite of health problems, along with others, writing and working for us. When I see Melody, that she puts all her efforts to write a book about Mina, to introduce her and her struggle to the American people. When I see Alicia, Hader, Steve, Mina Lanji, and other who are true faces of American people and who have been always there for helping us in very hard situations, they all give us energy and hope that we are never alone in our struggle, and we do have great and sincere friends among the American people. And this all makes us to be even more committed and work hard for achieving Mina's vision for free, democratic, and secular Afghanistan. You all are, in fact, fulfilling your responsibility toward a nation, toward the women of Afghanistan, toward our suffering people. And many of you have been already part of our history. We have learned a lot from all of you. We are proud of this face and real face of America. Today is 7 October, a day that many believe to be the beginning of a new Afghanistan, as the United States and its allies started war on terror. That was unknown to the terror that was unknown to Americans until 9/11 tragedy. But for Rawa and for majority of her people, it was the beginning of another tragedy. Because looking back to the U.S. involvement in Afghanistan, one could not expect that U.S. is really thinking for the betterment of our country. The United States policy in the Cold War period has sponsored terrorist regime one after another. All kinds of tyrants have been America's friends. You know that. There was a reason for that. Afghan Mujahideen, El Salvador, Nicaragua, etc. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan received a group of bearded men with turbans looking like they came from another century. They were Afghan Mujahideen leaders. After meeting them in the White House, he spoke to the press and said, "These are the moral equivalents of America's founding fathers." In August 1998, Bill Clinton ordered missile strikes on Osama bin Laden, who was only a few years ago the moral equivalent of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. This speaks for itself, for the United States government terrorist change. The terrorist of yesterday is the hero of today, and the hero of yesterday becomes the terrorist of today. For the United States, terrorist has a different definition than what people of the world know of it. 5 years have passed since the start of U.S. war on terror in Afghanistan, which was said by the U.S. media to be for democracy and liberation of Afghan people. But today, Afghanistan is still chained and burning in the fire of both the Taliban and the criminal Northern Alliance fundamentalists. And the future of Afghanistan is in serious jeopardy. Concerning the U.S. involvement in other countries and in the past 2 decades in our country, most of the people, at least our people, know very well the hidden nature of this war. It was the government of the United States who supported Pakistan in creating thousands of religious schools from which the germ of Taliban emerged. It was the government of the United States who supported jihadi fundamentalists of Northern Alliance with billions and billions of dollars against Soviet Union. Our founding MENA leader, MENA, had long ago warned that empowering such dirty and ignoring terrorists will not only have serious danger for Afghanistan, but for the people of the world. And 9/11 tragedy confirmed her claims. Immediately after 9/11 tragedy, international community awoke and started to talk about terrorism. It's crystal clear that U.S. invaded Afghanistan, but not to liberate our people, but to punish its former hirelings and servants in a bleeding, devastated, and hungry Afghanistan was bombed by the most advanced weaponry ever created in human history. And the operation of Afghan women was used as a justification to overthrow the Taliban regime. Innocent lives, many more than those who lost their lives in 9/11, were taken. No doubt that war on terror toppled the misogynous and barbaric regime of Taliban, but did not remove the Islamic fundamentalism, which is the root cause of the misery of Afghan people. They just replaced one fundamentalist regime with another. 5 years have passed since the so-called democratic Karzai government has been installed, but the depth of tragedy and miseries of Afghan people still remain intact. Unlike what's being shown in the media, Rawa and other human rights organizations such as Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, paint a completely different picture of Afghanistan. The large scale of corruption and frauds in the elections by the fundamentalists are clear indications that democracy cannot be practiced in a country infected by the germ of fundamentalist terrorists. The votes have been grabbed by the force of gun and money and authoritative powers. Karzai turned his back to the hopes and expectations of our people. He failed to fulfill his commitments. He betrayed the people's trust by relying on warlords. Compromising appointment of infamous fundamentalist warlords and criminal men and women in high governmental posts is main cause behind the failure of Karzai government to bring a radical positive change in Afghanistan. Now we have a parliament full of warlords and the most disgusting faces, including jihadi criminal leaders, former Taliban commanders, and some former puppets of USSR. Those who must first of all be prosecuted for their crimes against humanity in our nation are going to legislate to Afghan people. Rules of private armies of the warlords in different parts of the country and in fighting between different groups of them is the result of which innocents are losing their life. Opium poppy cultivation has expanded and government has stopped the poor and hungry farmers from growing opium, but let the powerful warlords to keep dealing in dirty drug trade. It is a shame to Karzai and the United States government that Afghanistan now produces 92% of the world's supply of opium, and even some ministers have acknowledged the fact that some cabinet ministers are deeply implicated in the trade, drugs trade. Afghanistan has become a narco state. It is disgusting that General Mohammad Daoud, a former warlord and well-known drug trafficker, is now Afghanistan's deputy interior minister in charge of anti-drug efforts. Under his commands, drug traffickers act with impunity. Corruption and fraud in the government directs billions of dollars to the pocket of high-ranked officials of the government. Our country has received $12 billion in aid, while another $10 billion were pledged at the London conference. But even a fraction of this aid has not been used for the benefit and welfare of our people. It is such a big shame for the government that still could not provide electricity, food and water for people. There is no sign of serious reconstruction process, so people are not benefited from the billions of dollars of reconstruction as it was robbed by the warlords are misused by the NGOs. The security situation is critical. Afghanistan is like a ticking bomb, and it's highly possible at any time to break out into a civil war. Women and girls have been particularly affected by the insecurity. A large number of refugees in Pakistan and Iran are still afraid to return home because of the lack of security, job, shelter, and continuation of ethnic religious conflicts by warlords. Even a large number of people emigrate to Pakistan due to insecurity. Hundreds of Afghan women committed suicide due to pressure and hopelessness. When the entire nation is living under the shadow of gun and warlordism, how can its women enjoy its basic freedom? Northern Lines gunmen raped 14-year-old Fatima and her mother, and 11-year-old Rahima, and 60-year-old grandmother. 30-year-old Amina was stoned to death. 9-year-old Saima was easily tortured and sacrificed for her father's violence. Gulbar was burned by her husband. And at the same time, Nadia Anjuman easily became victim of her husband's violence because he and others are sure that they have the support of warlords of Northern Alliance misogynists, and he knows that there is no law, or at least implementation of law, which might bring him to justice. Despite the presence of more than 6,000 UN peacekeeping forces, Kabul and other cities, NGOs and United Nations foreign workers are kidnapped in broad daylight, and innocent people are killed in suicide mission. According to United Nations, it's a land that is facing health disaster worse than tsunami. 700 children, 50, 70 women die just in Kabul on daily basis due to lack of health services. A land where hundreds of people die because of lack of food in bitter winter, just few kilometers away from the presidential palace. No need to talk about the human disaster in the rural areas. fed up with the hardships they have been facing over the years. 65% of the 50,000 widows in Kabul see suicide the only option to get rid of their miseries and disillusion, revealed a survey conducted by UNIFEM. The report revealed that the majority of Afghan women are victims of mental and sexual violence. Calling it a bitter fact, UNIFEM report also revealed that average lifespan of Afghan women was 20 years less than women living in other parts of the world. And child and mother mortality rate was still very high, as 1,600 to 1,900 women among each 100,000 die during childbirth. Afghanistan stands 175th out of 177 countries of the United Nations Human Development Index. Recently, Karzai's cabinet has approved the proposal to reestablish the most misogynist device and virtue department, which was a notorious symbol of arbitrary abuses, particularly against Afghan women and girls under the Taliban. President Karzai claims that one of his government's achievements is establishing freedom of speech and expression in Afghanistan, but the fact proves contrary to this claim. Last year alone, there were more than 40 attacks on journalists' freedom in Afghanistan, including 2 murders and several cases of abduction, assault, and imprisonment, according to the Afghan Independent Journalists Association. Recently, Afghan Journalists Union also complained for the degree of censorship imposed on them by the government. Apart from the meddling of neighboring countries like Pakistan and Iran, the anarchy situation in Afghanistan and disappointment of people from the current setup is the main reason behind the rise of Taliban and failure of NATO mission. There are many reports which say that the Northern Alliance commanders are selling weapons and ammunition to Taliban fighters. While the Northern Alliance and government try to point on second-degree issues such as neighboring countries meddling as prime factor towards instability in the country, but today even Human Rights Watch and other human rights organizations reaffirms Rawa's point of view. Human Rights Watch announced on 27 September 2006, the Taliban and other anti-government groups in Afghanistan have gained public support due to the Afghan government's failure to provide essential security and developments, and have used the presence of warlords in the government to discredit President Karzai's administration and its international backers. Afghans, all justice-loving people and international human rights organizations are demanding the trial of warlords and former pro-Moscow puppets, but they are not brought to justice, but rather shamelessly were offered higher positions in the government, an opportunity to find their way to parliament with the support of United States and its allies. The U.S. government puts Gulbuddin Hikmatyar in the list of most wanted terrorists, but his party has 34 members in the Afghan parliament who were elected in an election which was really a mockery of democracy. U.S. can work with pro-American fundamentalists, but oppose only anti-American fundamentalists. Barbara Ehrenreich, in her address in Barnard College in May 18, 2004, said, "I opposed the first Gulf War in 1991, but at the same time I was proud of our service women and delighted that their presence irked their Saudi hosts. Secretly, I hoped that the presence of women would eventually change the military, making it more respectful of other people and their cultures, more capable of genuine peacekeeping. That's what I thought, but I don't think that anymore. A lot of things died with photo of Abu Ghraib. The last moral justification for the war with Iraq died with those photos. Now, by witnessing the crimes and brutalities of Northern Alliance terrorists, the foot soldiers of the U.S. in Afghanistan in the so-called war against Taliban, more things and even the humanity should die for Barbara. And in fact, all people of the U.S., when they see their government support such misogynist and dark-minded killers and impose them on the Afghan people, Today, the friends of the United States government in Afghanistan are dark-minded, such as Rasul Sayaf, Burhanuddin Rabbani, Muhaqqiq, Yunus Qanuni, Karim Khalili, Fahim, Dr. Abdullah, Ismail Khan, Hazrat Ali Dostum, Sibghatullah Mujahideen, etc. Those who should be prosecuted for their crimes against Afghan people, U.S. is relying on the above-mentioned Northern Alliance leaders and commanders who turned Afghanistan into a hell from 1992 till 1996 and still are a great threat to the stability and peace not only to our country, but its danger will spread out to other countries and all over the world. The U.S. still ignores this saying of Martin Luther King, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." Katie Gannon, an expert in Afghanistan issue, justly states that the U.S. is not interested in peace in Afghanistan. The people who killed thousands, who patronized the drug business, are in charge of the country. In this short time, it's impossible to go into details of the plight of my crying nation, but hope you have realized that my devastated country is not free at all. We strongly believe that the condition will not change positively, and Afghanistan will not be liberated from the dirt of terrorism and fundamentalism as long as the warlords are not disarmed and removed from the political scene and brought to the trial for their war crimes. U.S. bombs, B-52, and the presence of thousands U.S. troops is not to bring liberation or establish democracy in our country. The people of the United States should note that their troops only serve strategic interests of the United States government and make things worse in Afghanistan. Liberation should be achieved by the people of a country, and they should must fight for their liberation. The ongoing developments in Afghanistan and Iraq prove this claim. Rawa has been advocating for a democratic and secular government as the only cure of the wounds of Afghan people, and particularly women. As women living in this very unliberated country, it's clear that Rao members, the outspoken advocate against warlords and fundamentalism, remain at high risk in a country still controlled by the armed warlords and fundamentalists. After 27 years of underground resistance, Rawa continues a struggle to provide for the needs of Afghan people, to empower women, and to work for democracy, peace, freedom, and human rights for all. Clearly, the main obstacle to the establishment of women's rights in Afghanistan is the presence of fundamentalism as a political and military force. When there are fundamentalists, there will be hostility against women and their struggle for equal rights. Only in a society based on democracy and secularism can the rights of women be granted. The fundamentalists who misuse religion and ancient tradition to oppose women are still prevalent. As a result, Rawa's mission for women's rights is far from over, and our work continues. Rawa has concentrated on raising awareness and organizing masses of women in legal and social sectors, and increasing education literacy among them. We strongly believe that education is power, and Afghan women cannot fight for their rights as long as they are not equipped with the sharpest weapon against ignorance and fundamentalism. With the weapon of education, Afghan women's rights could not be ignored by any government in the country. Rao is asking time and again that those who are real friends of her people should support democratic forces and not our bloody enemies. They should put pressure in any possible way to remove fundamentalism from power and disarm criminal commanders and bring to justice the criminal through an international court. Once again, thanking you all, Rao assures all its supporters around the world that we will not for a moment give up our struggle for freedom, democracy, and women's rights in Afghanistan. We will continue our committed pledge to tell the truth, even if this pledge requires us to pay a high price. Telling the truth is always revolutionary, so we will remain revolutionary forever. But its importance is that we will continue our hard struggle, but maybe without your practical support, particularly financial help, it's impossible for us. As we know that Rawa is running schools for girls and boys, literacy courses, orphanages in Afghanistan and also in Pakistan, hospitals, mobile health teams. But it's in danger of closing. So we really want you to help us in this very hard situation. Particularly, your financial help is very important. Even your $1 will save a life and will save a future of a child. If the enemies of democracy and peace can get united, why not the anti-fundamentalism and freedom-loving people all over the world should not get united? Please raise your loud and firm voice with us together against injustice and to defend democracy and freedom. As this famous saying, the silence of good people is worse than the action of bad people. Thank you.